Morning. So I've been in Chesapeake Presbytery 7 years now, and over those years it's been a real great privilege to get to know Tom better. And in 2 Timothy, you have some calls for pastors to proclaim God's word, but you also get these characteristics of how they're to do that with gentleness and care and great patience. And just as Tom's had different opportunities to speak in presbytery, it's been a joy and a blessing to me to see Tom do that in the midst of the presbytery. So I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for Tom and for being here this morning. And I'm sure he is by far a greater blessing to you as you hear him regularly. Well, I invite you this morning to turn over to Psalm 103. And this is a psalm of David. And before I read this for us, would you join me in prayer again? Father, we praise you. We praise you that you have made yourself known, that you have pulled back the curtain, unveiled yourself, revealed yourself to us as a father compassionate and tender to his children. Thank you that you are the covenant God, the God who makes a people his own and who gives yourself to your people. That we are yours and you are ours forevermore by your grace. We thank you for your steadfast love that you've poured out on us abundantly, that you've lavished on us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you for Christ, the spotless Lamb given for us. And this morning, as we come to this psalm, as we come to your word, we do ask that you, by your Spirit, would show us yourself, that you would give us hearts that marvel, that worship you, that stand in awe before you. Lord, we ask that you'd give us hearts humble, that kneel before you, that delight to call you ours, that delight to rehearse and remember your benefits, your blessings given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, be with me this morning. May Christ be proclaimed. Lord, be with all of us this morning that we would hear him, that we would delight to have our Savior, to hear and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts it to be so and rejoice in so great a salvation won for us by so great a Savior. Work in us to this end by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of our God. Several years ago, it's been quite a while now, actually, when I was in college, my friends and I were talking about great songs, and one of my friends got me laughing. He said, for the first time that semester, he had heard Boston's Peace of Mind. And as it was playing through the car radio, he said, I just had to pull over and soak it in. It was so good that I needed the time to just listen and bask in it and meditate on it. There are ways that good songs really do capture us. They soak us in. We want to hear them again and again. We hear them so many times that we remember the lyrics. We know how the song goes. We might find it going through our minds at these random times throughout the day. Psalm 103, it's hard to rank different psalms. It's probably a bad idea to rank different psalms. But this is a song given by God, and you would want to imagine every Israelite who heard it just pulling over their wagons to soak it in. But this is so good. Every line of it should lead us to rejoicing. Every word here is just God-given, and it's this revealing, this unclosing, this disclosing of who our God is, of his tender mercy, of his steadfast love, of how far he has gone to make his people his very own. This is so, so good. This is one that we should want to soak in and meditate on and memorize. If there's a song going through our minds, this is a great song for it to be. That we hear of who God is. We hear of what he's done for us. And especially for those in Christ by faith. This is a song that should give us so much gladness. Because so many good songs, we enjoy them because they're relatable. There might be these lines in that song that make it feel like it was written for our own experience. And unless some of you have this position I don't know about, there's probably no song, no popular song written that's about you or about me. But here's one that God gives to us. And if we're in Christ, it is a song for us. It's a song given for us to voice, to express the many benefits, steadfast love of our God for us. So as we look through Psalm 103, our application, our hope, my desire, our prayer for each other should be this. Would our souls leave here blessing the Lord? For those in Christ, may we remember, may we know our God so intimately, so personally, as he reveals himself here, that we leave here blessing the Lord and eagerly doing so, calling our own souls into that action. And we're going to have 2 points this morning. One is the command to praise, and the other is the draw to praise. So if you're thinking of it in terms of a song, you have CD as a helpful way to think through this and different points of it. And if you're wondering how CD relates to song, go and ask your parents later, and they'll help you out. But first, you get the command to praise, and you have it right at the beginning. But you also have it at the end, and this is something in Hebrew poetry that's called bracketing or an inclusio, where it begins how it ends, and it ends how it begins. And it is this command, bless the Lord. And throughout this whole psalm, you only have one imperative in the Hebrew language, and it's bless the Lord. That's the command given, and it's given 6 times or 7 times in English as it translates it. And it is this call to kneel before God, to acknowledge the greatness of him who is above all things, him who is over all things. To give our lives an acknowledgement of his greatness, to bless, to kneel before him who is above all. In the end of the psalm, that's where you get the most uses of it. 4 times, and these different groups are acknowledged in verses 20 through 22. And it is a command that is deep and broad. That the greatest of beings, the angels in heaven, bless the Lord. The greatest powers that we know of, the greatest things that God has created, let them spend their time blessing the Lord. And even in heaven, this is what is going on right now. The ministers of God, the angels of the Lord, his hosts, declaring his greatness, kneeling before him. This is what we read in Revelation 7, 11, and 12. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Not just the angels, not just the mighty ones, but all his works. In verse 22, in all places of his dominion. That is everywhere. Let everything, all creatures, everywhere, bless the Lord. Let them kneel before their Maker. Let them acknowledge the greatness of him who rules and reigns over all. There's also going to be a day when we see this psalm come into reality, where every knee will bend and bow before Christ, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and it will all be to the glory of God the Father. This command will be obeyed. It will be seen with our own eyes one day. And for all of that, the one who gets this command more than any other, the one who this command is directed at more than any other, is ourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And soul, it can be used in Hebrew in a really similar way to heart, this very core of who we are. My very being, my very core, bless the Lord. In my very center. But not just in my center. If you look at the very beginning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Every gift that I have, every skill, every talent, every word that comes off my tongue, every thought that crosses my mind, every action of my hand, everything my feet takes me to do, may it all be used in kneeling before God. And acknowledging his greatness and giving praise and honor to him. And for all the calls that are given to the mighty beings in all the earth, you see David instruct us here, God instruct us here. Give that call to your own soul. Speak it to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's only imperative in the Hebrew, but there's another word, another verb here, and with the negation and with its connection to bless, you see that it takes this form of an imperative. It carries along that same idea, and it's in the end of verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. One of the greatest dangers in the life of the believer, this side of heaven, is forgetfulness. Forgetting the Lord, forgetting his immeasurable mercy, his blessings to us. When you think about forgetfulness in the Christian life, forgetfulness leads to burdensomeness. It leads to toil. It makes the Christian life feel like a weight on us. Forgetfulness of the Lord and his mercies to us, it makes the Christian life joyless and thankless. But to remember the Lord, to remember who he is, to remember what he's done for us, how far his love goes for us, how deep his mercy is to us, that makes blessing the Lord a delight. It makes it our dream and our desire. Elephants have these incredible memories. They can remember the smell of a person who's hurt them, and then years later, if they have that same scent, they'll run away from that person. They'll remember where watering holes are, even if they haven't been there for years and years. If they're introduced to another elephant, they will remember that elephant, even if decades have passed without seeing it. And when it comes to what your God has done for you, when it comes to God and His mercy and steadfast love and righteousness and justice, be an elephant. Remember what He has done. Do not forget it. Rehearse it to yourself. Be here where you will hear of His goodness, of your God, of the gospel, of what He has done for you and His Son. Remember it. And we need this kind of instruction because it's so easy to forget. We all have to-do lists. We all have vocations or families that we're taking care of. We have a million things that run through our minds, these concerns about others and what they're thinking of us, how they view us. And all of those things steal attention. Like we heard from Chris earlier about the hardness of heart. There are so many things our hearts are prone to focus in on. So we need this instruction from our Lord. Forget not. For all of that, forget not what is most important. Who is most important and what He has done for you. That's our command to worship, to praise. And most of this psalm focuses in on the draw to praise. God pulling us in, calling us in to praise. And you get this with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus says to her, the Father is seeking those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And through the draws, through the revealing God does of Himself in the psalm, you see He's really seeking that. He is seeking His people to worship Him, to bless Him, to be eager and excited for it. In verses 3 through 6, there's this rehearsing of what God has done for David, and it's very, very intimate and personal. David is saying, this has been done, and it's been done for me by God. What has He done? He has forgiven all your iniquities. There's not a single blemish that remains on those who are in Christ Jesus. Not a single spot for those washed in Him. Who heals all your diseases. And I'm sure we could go through this room and have so many stories of those whose surgery was successful, medicine worked, there were healing, there was recovery given. And ultimately, all of that is from the hand of God. But as we think of this as believers, and we think of healing, of being made well, that is something we will see fully and finally one day. There's no question about all of our diseases being done away with as we share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That one day, the promise of God for us is there will be no more pain and there will be no more death. We will realize this. We will enjoy this benefit from our God who redeems your life from the pit. In the pastoral prayer this morning, it referenced Titus 2. And there, God talks about our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. There could be no pit deeper than being dead in your sin. And for those dead in their sin, they've been bought. They've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. If you've never come to Christ, look to Him. There's redemption. There's salvation in His name and His name alone. Come to Him. And if you have, listen. Be reminded about what your God has done for you in Christ. Rejoice. Bless Him. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, that for those in Christ, we can be sure the mercy, the love of God are always around our heads. The way it's put in Psalm 23 is, the goodness and mercy of God follow us all the days of our lives. And that word for mercy, it's hesed, his steadfast love. And we hear that again and again in this psalm. The steadfast love of the Lord is on his people. It crowns our heads. It's never stripped away from us. And he satisfies us with good. Our God doesn't withhold blessings from us, but he pours them out on us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And the greatest good he gives us is himself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. As we're going through all of those blessings and those verses, look at the who. Who forgives? Who heals? Who redeems? Who crowns? Who satisfies? When God blesses us, it is this action that is intimate and personal on his behalf. That he is active in blessing us, that he comes near, he draws near to us. The Almighty, the Infinite, coming near in intimacy to his people, blessing us personally. This is our God. This is our Father. As you keep going through the psalm, there's one name used of God over and over again, and it's Lord in all capital letters. It's Yahweh. It is this reminder of Exodus 3, I am that I am, or I will be that I will be for you. It's this personal name, this covenant name that God gives to his people to remind them that he is in covenant with us. He has bound himself to us. The God of this song is a God who is the God of his people, and he makes his people his very own and even gives himself to them. This is a God who is ours in Christ. He gives us this full name in Christ Jesus, Father, Son, and Spirit. Spirit cries out in our hearts, Abba, Father, that he is ours and we are his. We have the tenderness of our God, the compassion of our God given to us as a father has compassion for his children. There in verse 13, and we are his in our Lord. He was declared with power in his resurrection to be the Son of God. And in that Son of God, we have received adoption. At the fullness of time, that is Christ purchased redemption in his death, in his resurrection. We have adoption. We are his and he is ours. We have these rights and these privileges to call him our own, to draw near to him as children to a father. It's too much to go through each and every one of these blessings that God gives to us in this psalm, but there are a few that get repeated. And one is forgiveness, who forgives all your iniquities. And then later on, he does not, in verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him, as far as east is from west. And just think of opposites there. Two poles, as far as they can be, as distant as can be, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Our God, in Christ Jesus, removes our sin from us in such a way that it will never touch us again. It is opposite of what we are as the redeemed, as the washed. And he has removed it from us. He has lifted it from us and put it on Christ at the cross. He himself, Christ himself, bore our sins on the tree. That's what we read in 1 Peter 2. Our sins are removed from us, and they are borne by Christ. And if Christ has suffered, if Christ has died, if Christ has borne the wrath of God, that is my assurance that they will never touch me again. This is what Augustus Toplady wrote in an old hymn. From whence this fear and unbelief? Has not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin which, Lord, was charged to thee? If Christ my discharge has procured, and freely in my place endured the whole of wrath divine, God will not payment twice demand, first at my dying Savior's hand, and then again at mine. No payment remains for those who are in Christ Jesus, because every payment has been made already. He himself bore our sins. It is gone from you. Doesn't that just stir up your soul to say, bless the Lord? Bless the Lord. Our song forevermore is that he does not deal with me according to my sins. He will not always chide me. He will not be angry with me forever. Rather, our song for endless ages is going to be, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is merciful, and he has been merciful to me. Have you ever played that game with a tape measure where you slowly extend it out and you see just how far you can get it before it collapses? Well, if we were to do that, and we had a tape measure that just couldn't collapse, it was perfectly built, at some point, if we were just lifting it up into the air, we'd hit something. You could get really, really far. You might hit an airplane. You might hit a satellite. You might hit the moon. And whatever that tape measure read, it would pale in comparison to the infinite measure of God's steadfast love for his people. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him, to those who have come to see him and behold him and worship him and draw near to him in Christ Jesus the Lord. He is a God whose love for his own cannot be measured. It is too great. And this is a God whose kingdom, in verse 19, rules over all. And God, a king whose power rules over all, a king whose kingdom rules over all, is a God whose steadfast love cannot be separated from his people. It is set on us. It is fixed on us. Where does he prove his steadfast love for us? How can I know the steadfast love, this infinite love of God is mine? This is where God shows his love. In 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is where the infinite love of God is proved for his people. It is infinite in depth. It's infinite in length. In verse 17, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And we know that because he's given us his infinitely beloved Son to prove it. It will not be stripped away from you. It will not fail in its measure to you. God wants you to be sure of it. He wants his people to know it, that his love is upon us. Every blessing of this psalm, it points us to 2 Corinthians 1:20, where all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. From beginning to end, this psalm points us forward to Jesus Christ, to his death, to his resurrection. Forget not all his benefits. In Ephesians 1, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Who forgives your iniquity, who redeems your life from the pit. You just go a couple verses later in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In him, talking about Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. the one who heals all our diseases. Well, in Christ, you see him going about healing the sick, raising the dead, and it's this foretaste, this foreshadowing of the eternal life that he's going to give, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3 is that they would know the depth and breadth and height and width of the love of Christ. And this love is ours. God has lavished it upon us in his Son. Every blessing of this psalm, a father tender towards his children. Ours is the adoption in Christ Jesus. Ours is the spirit of adoption given to us by our Lord Jesus. It all finds its yes and amen in Christ. So as you're going through this song, as you're thinking about it, every one of these lines should make you rejoice in your Savior and the redemption he has won and the love of the Father sealed to you in the Son, and the sonship and the adoption as children you've received by the Spirit. This is a psalm, when you get it, when you get what it is saying, you can't help but join in the refrain, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Nathan Hale, he was the Revolutionary War hero, and he was on this information-gathering mission to New York, and he was captured by the British there, and he was sentenced to be executed, and right before his execution is where we have that famous line. And he said, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. The revolution had captured his mind, it had captured his heart in such a way that he wanted to spend himself for it. He was saying, this is a worthy cause, this is a worthy end, to give my life to this. Psalm 103 tells us about the Lord God Almighty. It tells us about his steadfast love, his tender mercy. It points us forward to the saving, the forgiving work that he would do for us in Christ Jesus the Son. And it captures hearts. It is meant to. It is our God calling us, seeking worshipers for himself, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. When you hear this song, it should make you say, there is one worthy. Give my soul, my life, my all to you. To kneel before all the days of this life and for endless days in eternity. So many of the Psalms have seasons that they're written for, seasons of lows or of highs. In Psalm 103, you don't get any hint of a season of life that David's going through. And a psalm without a season in particular means that it has to be a psalm that applies to every season. It always holds true. It's always true for us. And if this holds true for every season, if this is what we're to do, bless the Lord in any and every season, then there has to be reason for it in any season. And there is. The steadfast love of the Lord, the tender mercies of our God, the forgiveness that he has given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. They are not yes and no for us. In Christ Jesus, they are always yes. They are always ours. He is always ours. So that is our reason for any season to say to our souls, bless the Lord. Let's pray. God, who do we have in heaven but you? And would you make it that there is nothing we desire on earth apart from you? That any desire we have in this life, any desire we have, that it would be a desire to have you as well. To rest in your steadfast love, to enjoy your tender mercies, to to boast in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and kneel before Him who has been exalted, who sits at your right hand. Father, give us hearts that bless Him, that kneel before Him, that exalt Him, in whom we have forgiveness, the washing away of our sins, all of them. Lord, throughout this day, throughout our lives, would you let the refrain we speak to ourselves again and again and again be, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We have every reason to do so. For you, Lord, are good. And you have blessed us beyond our wildest imaginations in Christ Jesus, the Beloved. We rest in him. We thank you for him. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.